It is my pleasure and delight to welcome you to this Sunday's joint service of St Mark's and St Cuthbert's and St Peter's congregations. Various people have recorded parts of this service from their homes, and so now, although physically apart, our voices join together as we do in heart and mind. I am so glad that you are able to join us too. Please do join in with the responses and sing along where appropriate. The Lord be with you and also with you. The Lord our God reigns. Let us rejoice and shout for joy and give him glory. Let us pray. Lord, direct our thoughts, teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord fills the world and knows our every word and deed. Let us then open ourselves to the Lord and confess our sins in penitence and faith. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. We have not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Rejoice in the rock of our salvation. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Raise the rafters with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The Lord is our God, and we are his, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his flock.
God of our pilgrimage, you lead us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forwards on our journey. Led by your grace and held in your hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Your word is a lantern to our feet and a light upon our path.
Alleluia, alleluia. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will declare the mysteries of ancient times. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burnt, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
For our sermon today, Bishop Paul Bayes of Liverpool has released sermons, or said he will release sermons through the summer, so that his clergy can have a rest in Liverpool Diocese. And I'm sure he won't mind if there are people outside of Liverpool Diocese listening in as well. I've chosen particularly for us to hear this one because he is repeating or picking up on the reflections that we had a few weeks ago on hope in the letter to the Romans, and Bishop Paul takes that same idea of hope as we go forwards through the summer. And so when you imagine expecting to hear Bishop Paul of Durham and don't find it familiar, that's because it's not. It's Bishop Paul of Liverpool who came and spent some time with us 2 years ago. Some of you will remember him. Obviously, if our own Bishop Paul wanted to start giving us sermons for the summer, I'm sure we'd be delighted to hear them too. But for now, based on Romans and the Gospel of Matthew that we just heard Phil read for us, the Bishop of Liverpool is going to preach for us.
Hello everyone, greetings from Bishop's Lodge. This is the first of a series of sermons that the senior staff of the diocese are offering to the churches through this summer period, so that your local ministers can give themselves a break and hopefully rest and refresh themselves. And this first one, we're addressing the readings for the 19th of July, readings from Romans and also from St. Matthew's Gospel. A few weeks ago, I broke a tooth. It was a big molar that had done great work for me for well over 50 years. And I broke it by biting down on a potato crisp. I didn't bite very hard, there wasn't a stone in the crisp. And according to the dentist, the edge of the crisp had just hit a fault line in the tooth, as any crisp could have done for decades. All the fault line needed was a piece of food in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I've now got a broken tooth and no immediate prospect of a filling. It's not an emergency, but it is a shame. Now, the coronavirus has more in common with a mouthful of broken glass than it does with a salt and vinegar crinkle cup. And it's impacting on all of our lives, personal and institutional. But the principle is the same. Ways of being that have done us proud for years and years are suddenly under stress, and some of them may break with no immediate prospect of a filling. We're being stress tested as individuals, as a church, as a society at this time. And so the question is, how should we live when the pressure's on? The New Testament was written at a time when this kind of stress testing, illness, pandemic, war, occupation, was much more common than it is now. And the two readings we've had today, each of them in its different ways, addresses that question. When good and evil live side by side, when the pressure's on, What are we to do? The world is complicated. People can behave dreadfully towards one another. The structures of society can privilege some groups over others, as we've seen with the Black Lives Matter movement and the reminder of the racism in our society. Our own impulse to sin and selfishness repeated over and over again through our lives, what in traditional church we called our besetting sins. These things can seem impossible ever to change or to transform. And yet at the same time, goodness flourishes everywhere. Generosity and selflessness can be seen, especially in a crisis. We continue to be shaped as a society that does live under law, that does defend the weak. And we can surprise ourselves by our own strength and courage in situations that nobody else will see apart from God. To think all that complicated world through raises the question of evil in the world. As the psalmist says, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? Or as Jesus says in St. John's Gospel, when a tower falls on people, 13 of them die, do you think it's because those people were more sinful than everybody else? No, says Jesus. But if you don't look out, your own life, your eternal life, may be in danger. The world is complicated and you can't just draw lines between those who've done well in the world and those who are righteous and good. So the great physicist Albert Einstein, talking about science, but he once said this, you should try to make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. That's a good rule for Christians who are immersed in the world that God made and that God loves. Here and there you see examples of believers who try to make the world simpler than God made it, who say, let's not talk to any non-Christians, let's just hang out with other believers, let's make a pure community that hasn't got anything to do with the world, let's turn our back on complicated things and just be simple. And it seems to me that that's what the trap is that Jesus describes in today's gospel, the story of the wheat and the tares growing up in the same field. The servants say to the master, let's uproot these weeds now. Let's just have a pure field. But the master knows that life is more complicated than that. That wouldn't work, he says. You damage the good fruit as well, he says. And there are plenty of examples across the history, not only of the church, of little communities who do their best to be pure and end up being corrupt, influenced by leaders who go off the rails. The church has taken a different way over most of its life. And certainly in our Anglican tradition, what we've tried to do is to be there for everyone, immersed in the world, but trying to live lives of holiness. And so St. Paul, in this magnificent chapter, the 8th chapter of Romans, talking as he does among so many other things there, he has things to say on this as well. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains till now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, wait for God to draw us into God's own life, the redemption of our bodies. The Bible understands that it's a complicated world. The Bible understands that we're in pain. And we who have the Spirit of God are in pain along with it. And our calling is not to escape into another field, but to bear with the field we're in, the world God loves, and to serve it. And according to St. Paul, we have a gift, the primary gift of God to people who live in a complicated world, the gift of hope. For in hope, he says, we were saved. And hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what they can see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So these days, when society is being stress tested, when my own righteousness is being stress tested, when the life of the church is under stress, we're called to live in hope. That's not the same thing as saying that we're called to live optimistically. Optimism, being upbeat, being cheerful, looking on the bright side, it has its place in life. Although I regret that for some of our leaders, it seems that that's all that matters. Let's keep talking things up. But what happens if the truth is a hard truth? Facile optimism can be shipwrecked by truth. And if we stifle the truth so as to remain optimistic, I believe we've left the right path behind. And we've sleepwalked, all smiling and happy, into a world of lies. But hope does not depend on what is seen, nor on turning a blind eye to what is seen if we don't like it. When we get to Romans 8, if we've read through the letter, when he begins to talk about hope, we will remember that in chapter 5, he also spoke about hope. And he said this, we boast in our sufferings. We don't run away from sufferings, we boast in our sufferings. Knowing, he says, that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. The ability to look straight at the world and also to look straight at the Word of God and not to lose faith. Character produces hope, he says, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. In the midst of suffering and stress, our calling as a community of people who have the Spirit of Jesus is to bear with the complexity of the world in hope. In our Diocese of Liverpool, we're asking God for a bigger church to make a bigger difference. We're saying we want to see more people knowing Jesus, more justice in the world, to share the good news of Jesus, to struggle for justice, is to bear a complicated world in hope. It is to live with clear eyes and a light heart. And so my prayer for the diocese and for you and for your community in these days of coronavirus is for clear-sightedness and light-heartedness in each and all of us. May God in Christ give these gifts to you personally, and to your community corporately, and to all the 60,000 or so people who are connected with the Diocese of Liverpool. And may God in Christ be close to you in your praying and in your living and serving this week and into God's future. Amen.
His friends, they knelt in. it somewhere. Hope is always there.
God calls us to peace. In God's justice is our peace. Christ calls us to be God's people. In Christ is our peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. Amen.
Our prayers today are taken from the Christian Aid website. Loving God, we seek your presence in the silence beyond words, looking to you for comfort, strength, protection, and reassurance, breathing with gratitude, holding on to hope, trusting with faith that you are still God in the midst of the turmoil, and that your love reaches to the ends of the earth. Be present with us now. Amen. God of heaven and earth, in these times of isolation, apart from loved ones, distant from friends, away from neighbours, thank you that there is nothing in all of creation, not even coronavirus, that is able to separate us from your love. And may your love that never fails continue to be shared through the kindness of strangers looking out for each other, for neighbours near and far, all recognising our shared vulnerability, each of us grateful for every breath, and willing everyone to know the gift of a full and healthy life. Keep us all in your care. Amen. Loving God, strengthen our innermost being with your love that bears all things, even the weight of this global pandemic, even the endurance of watching for symptoms, of patiently waiting for this to pass, watching while we pray, keeping our gaze fixed on you and looking out for our neighbours near and far. Instill in our shaken souls the belief and hope that all things are possible with your creative love, for strangers to become friends, for science to source solutions, for resources to be generously shared so everyone, everywhere, may have what they need. May your perfect love that knows no borders cast out any fear and selfishness that divides. May your love that never ends be our comfort, strength, and guide for the well-being of all and the glory of God. Amen. May your love that never fails strengthen the weak, encourage the fearful, calm the anxious, heal the sick. Through your church, your washed hands and feet on earth, distant but still present, virtual but still connected, apart but still helping, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And we think of those whose year's mind falls this week, including Donald Firth, Barbara Peel, Catherine Brown, James Spencer, John Burgess, Ellen Cooper, and Hilda Friskney.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. To a troubled world, peace from Christ. To a searching world, love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ. Eternal giver of love and life, your Son, Jesus Christ, has sent us into all the world to preach the gospel of his kingdom. Confirm us in this mission and help us to live the good news that we proclaim through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Strain.